Welcome along again to the My Racing Podcast. I'm Ed Quigley, Longshot Ted. Now, this week we're going to be doing something totally different. No, we're not actually. We're going to be doing the same as pretty much every other podcast out there at the moment. We're going to be looking at the Cheltenham Festival. The difference is I'm joined by two fine minds. Two anoraks have been burning the midnight oil over the form book. Owen Gordon, James Boyle were with me. How are you, gents?
Yeah, all good, thanks, Ed. Looking forward to 4 days of absolutely fantastic racing.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know about you. I'm absolutely buzzing. I've had my skinny mocha, my eggs Benedict. The sun's beating down over Cheltenham Festival. I'm doing cartwheels. That's me anyway. Enough about me. James, how's your week been? And most importantly, have you left the sofa yet?
Haven't left the sofa as of this moment now, just getting everything ready, Cheltenham prep, etc. But looking forward to a brilliant week and lots of questions left there to be answered.
I admire your consistency. Owen, how about you? You've been off to LA or Oxford or in between?
No, a much quieter week for me. Went to the football on Monday where Portsmouth gave Arsenal something to think about, but next week is strictly racing.
Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, well, we're, without further ado, going to be getting stuck in to the action at the Cheltenham Festival. Of course, don't forget to follow My Racing on Twitter, and please do gamble responsibly. Right, without further ado, the Supreme Novices Hurdle, 1:30 on the Tuesday. James, I come to you first. Shishkin, is it a good thing, bad thing, no idea about the thing? What's your view on him, and most importantly, who do you think wins?
I'm not 100% sure with Shishkin. He's obviously a very talented horse. Apart from that one mishap at Newbury on his hurdling debut, he's been very impressive. I like the way he went about both of his runs so far this year. Obviously talented horse, he's going to be a future chaser, but he's around 11-4 at the moment. It looks pretty short to me. Now, he is a horse who hasn't really faced that much with regard to high quality opposition. He's going to get that on Tuesday. He hasn't really faced a battle either. So there are definite questions to be answered with him, and it'll be interesting to see how he does answer them.
Okay, so what's your answer then? Who are you taking him on with?
My answer is a somewhat tentative shout towards Henry de Bramhead's Captain Guinness. He's around 16-1 at the moment. I think it rates as a reasonable each way bet. He took advantage of Black Bow falling to win on his hurdling debut at Navan. That was back in December. Fairly reasonable race, but thought he stepped up on that very nicely last time when he was second to Andy Dufresne. I know people will have lots of question marks with regard to that form, given what Andy has done since and been defeated, but I don't think that that should be taken too literally. And Captain Guinness was pulling his head off during that race, hit the front far too early and was still there battling until the last 50 yards. So I think he's a horse with lots more improvement to come. He's only had two runs so far. Henry will have him trained to the minute for this. He's had a couple of months off since. So at around 16-1 in a race that is quite hard to solve, I think he could be a decent each way play.
Okay, and Owen, we'll come to you. Look, I really like Shishkin here. I think he could just be excellent, to put it in layman's terms. I just really like him. He looks exciting, but look, the stats boys are jumping down my throat. You know, he hasn't won a grady race. He hasn't done this. He came in the wrong lorry on the way to the race course. You know, what's your view on him? Are you someone who gets caught up over stats as a kind of wider point, or do you use them to in kind of enhance your study but don't see them as the be-all and end-all?
I think they're made to be broken, really, stats. Obviously, you can use them as a guide, but they shouldn't be the be-all and end-all. I think just...
Well, I mean, does it put you off Shishkin's claim, shall we say, as a statistician?
I wouldn't say it puts me off. Obviously, there's been the big stat that's been going around that the last 128 horses who have had their final run ahead of Cheltenham at Huntingdon have all been beaten. But I would imagine, I don't know the specific horses in that list, but I'd imagine not all of them are Shishkin. Both his wins since he fell on hurdling debut have been very impressive. He couldn't have done much more at Huntingdon. He ran clear really readily, even though he was far too keen. He should be well suited by a strongly run Supreme hurdle, which Supreme novices hurdle, which always get to run a complete burn up. So I wouldn't be too worried about the stats people trying to bully him out of the Supreme.
Okay, well, I'm staying faithful to Shishkin. James has put up Captain Guinness as an each-way play. We'll shuffle along to the Arkle then. Now, I think this race could be an absolute tear-up ahead of affairs. Lots of pace on potentially here in this race. James, you're someone with lots of pace yourself, especially when retreating to the sofa. Notebook, is he the one to beat here?
He probably is the one to beat from a pure form point of view. He's already got the better of Fakhar Dudary, and he is technically 7 pounds better off now that one has lost the weight for age allowance. But he had two fairly tough races there in December and again 5 weeks ago. I think that possibly could have left this race behind if he hasn't been freshened up nicely since. So I would be inclined to take him on. He's only around 5-2, 11-4 best at the moment. So I think that he is a horse to oppose on this occasion.
And you're opposing him with?
I'm going to take a chance on Fakhar Dudary turning around that form. I know I've just said that obviously he's lost the weight for age allowance. He's a 5-year-old now. When they met on Boxing Day at Leopardstown, maybe Fakhar wasn't ridden to see him at best effect. I'm sure that connections are going to decide to maybe turn the screw a little bit earlier on Notebook this time around. Fakir's a very good stayer, as we got to see on a couple of occasions so far. He was fourth in the Supreme here last year behind Classical Dream, and he kind of only got going towards the end of that race. So I do think with a different sort of ride, even though the weights have changed around, that Fakhar could possibly turn that form.
Do you not think he'd be better suited to the Marsh?
He possibly could be. But given the likelihood of how this race is going to pan out, I'd be happy enough to keep him at this trip for now. He's only a 5-year-old as well, so I think it could be the right approach. And the Marsh looks wide open, a very tricky contest.
Okie doke. Owen, I mean, have you looked at this kind of pace duel, if you like? I mean, the angle I've taken, with Notebook and Cashback, I agree with what James is saying to an extent. I think they had hard races last time out. I think, again, this time there's going to be a lot of burn-up, a lot of pace on it at the front. I mean, would you be looking at those ahead of affairs, a bit of a close, or do you think we're perhaps over-analysing the tactics of it?
No, I totally agree. It has the potential to be a very a big burn-up at the front, and Notebook and Fakhar Dudary do arrive here, having had hard runs into the actual into the Arkle. I think people are really sleeping on the British runners in this. Brewing Up a Storm has the potential to be really suited by that burn-up. He came from a different parish when he won his chasing debut at Carlisle, and he looked far more impressive when he beat Southfield Stone at Taunton subsequently. If they do go too hard up front, he's the one who's probably likely to be staying on very well. Just quickly as well, Esprit de Large, you know, he's 14, a general 14-1 shot with...
He's a bit underrated, isn't he, for the way he won at Sandown? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you'd find his price, if he was trained by another trainer, having won a Grade 1 race. I know, obviously, people have been saying that the form isn't very good, but Nube Negra didn't disgrace himself in the Kingmaker since when he was second to Rouge Vif. And as I say, I don't think he'd be the price he is if he was trained by any other trainer.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. Yeah, I'm with Brewing Up a Storm here. Normally, I would see a horse so light on experience, perhaps as a negative, but Ollie Murphy does rightfully point out all his best performances have come after substantial breaks. I mean, his first time out record for the season is phenomenal. So if you like, it almost is his first time out for the season. So I think he'll go well with Richard Johnson on board. Yeah, so we're split in regards to the Arkle. Now, a race that is definitely splitting pretty much every racing fan at the moment is the Champion Hurdle. I can't really repeat on here some of the names I've heard punters call this race or this renewal. Look, forgetting all that, it's a grey one, it's the Champion Hurdle. It looks ultra competitive. We're going to get a big field here. I don't know about you, gents. I mean, I'll tell you, look, I've backed Super Sunday and Pentland Hills Antipost, but I don't fancy them at all. That pretty much sums up my view on this race. I think you could throw a blanket over a dozen of these. How do you sum this one up, James? Too close to call, or have you got a strong view?
It's a very wide open contest. I suppose I can understand why some people are disappointed. You want to be seeing high 160, maybe even a 170 plus horse lining up, but we kind of have high 150 handicap-ish types. I know Epatant is rated 159. She's getting a mayor's allowance as well off the, all of the others, which does maybe put things a little bit in her favour. She was very impressive at Kempton when she won the Christmas hurdle by 5 lengths. But there is a question to be answered there with regard to whether she's a flat track bully or not. I kind of get the impression that she might be, and around 7-2, I'd be inclined to take her on. Pentland Hill's another one, smooth travelling horse. If you told me earlier in the year that a horse would be as short as 5-1 for the champion hurdle, despite being bet twice by Ballyandy, I would be very much questioning the race, and that is a scenario that we have playing out here. I think he's one to take on. A very smooth travelling horse, though. If things did pan out in his favour, you could see him going well.
He's had his wind tweaked as well recently. Whether that'll make a difference or not, I don't know. But he has given the impression on very soft ground this season, he's just not been quite seeing out the final half furlong.
Yeah, and better ground could work in his favour. Obviously, you wouldn't rule out anything trained by Nicky Henderson either. He is a masterful trainer, but I'd be inclined on what we've seen so far to take him on. And that Triumph Hurdle form last year isn't exactly working out either. So I think at those sort of prices, you'd be happy to look elsewhere.
Okay, so you're looking elsewhere. Where's the value in your view?
The value was probably in Super Sunday a few weeks ago when he was around 33-1. He's only 12-1 now. I'd still suggest that he'd be okay for an each way bet. I was hoping that the rain would keep staying around and coming down for him, but I was quite encouraged by his return to action in the Irish Champion Hurdle. He was beaten 4 3/4 lengths behind Honeysuckle, finished fourth that day. Thought he got a perfect ride to get him ready for a race like this. Obviously, Jesse Harrington as well would have targeted a big day out at Cheltenham. We know that he handles the track perfectly fine. He's won the Carl Cup before. He was second in the Stairs in 2018. Just a question of whether they go hard enough up front for him, but I think there's a definite chance that they might.
Okay, and I mean, Owen, what's your view? I mean, as a racing fan, does this disappoint you, not having your Bouvardais or your proven grade one performers, if you like, in the field? Or does it make it much more exciting? You know, as I said, you've got 10, 12 horses here separated by a blanket in handicapping terms. Does that make it more exciting for you?
I think the fact that we're talking about it in handicapping terms and saying that it's an ultra-competitive race as its main talking point is probably the reason why it's so disappointing. The lack of a...
Do you find that disappointing, a race where you haven't got something at 4-7 turning up and you just go to the bar to watch it, if that makes sense?
I don't think it's the lack of a really short price favourite. I think it's more the lack of a potential star or a storyline, you know, a horse coming to try and beat the older pretender, you know. I think that's probably the disappointment with it. I mean, if you look at the horses at the top of the market, Epatant and Pentland Hills, in the last couple of years, I mean, even when Bouvardais was winning his champion hurdles, we were saying that they were quite weak divisions. So I think we can probably take that back now to some degree. I think probably if in terms of the actual race itself, one that would interest me is Charger. He's not been the most consistent this year, but he won a grade one over Christmas, and although he has been beaten either side of that, he's won on heavy ground if the weather does go that way, and if he does put his best foot forward, I'd suggest he could certainly be playing a role in the finish.
Okie doke. Right, so to wrap this up then, James, we'll come to you. Your best bet on the opening day, is there anything anywhere else on the cards in the handicaps that takes your eye?
Nothing really interesting me in the handicaps yet. I'll wait and see what the ground is like in the final decks. With regard to best bet, I'd say probably Captain Guinness each way in the Supreme. I still don't think we've seen the best of him, so hopefully we will on Tuesday.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to throw in the Ultimate, a horse I backed a long time ago, one of my biggest fancies of the week, providing the ground doesn't go too deep, and that's Kildasart for the Ben Pooling team. I think he's dropped a really attractive mark now.